I'm speaking with Lori Miono. Lori is a doctor of psychology who's worked extensively looking at the integration of music and psychology with diverse age groups and populations. She has provided psychological services in many different venues, community counseling centers, homeless shelters, transitional living facilities for women and their children, and also at several academic institutions in California. Lori has also been a presenter at the American Psychological Association, describing the role of music in emotional regulation processes for teenage girls. Welcome to Health Cetera, Lori.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Great. What sparked your interest in music and mental health?
Well, both of my parents worked in the music industry, so I was surrounded by music for as long as I can remember. Some of my earliest memories are actually being backstage at concerts when I was like 5 years old. So there was that piece, but also I grew up as an only child. I do have siblings, but they're significantly older, so I was the only child in the house, and my mom's only daughter. So, you know, growing up, when I would struggle with something in my family, I lived in a very positive environment, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But the drawback of that was whenever something negative, or so to speak negative, would happen, it was almost dismissed. Like, oh, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Things will get better. And unintentionally, it sort of passed on the message of, you can't talk about this stuff. So because I felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to, and definitely nobody in my age group nearby that I could talk to about some things that were going on, I turned to music.
Ah, I first heard about you when you were actually doing a workshop about mental health and music. What you've worked with young people in elementary schools and colleges, what do you see as the mental health issues that they come with?
Well, they come with a variety of issues. I think with elementary schools, it's a lot of family difficulties. You know, sometimes there's difficulties with communication or maybe some substance abuse that the kids really don't know what's going on, how to handle it. In the schools, definitely bullying is a big problem that I saw quite a bit in elementary schools, junior highs, and maybe even a little bit in high school. Though it definitely seemed more prevalent, at least in my experience, in elementary schools. Across the board, one thing that I've noticed, whether we're talking about early elementary or currently in college, a lot of social struggles, people trying to fit in with their peers. For college specifically, maybe some homesickness if it's the first time they've been away from home. And all of these issues can contribute to depression, anxiety, a variety of mental health issues. And with college specifically, you know, I work at both Santa Monica College currently and CSUN, Cal State Northridge. And college age students, a lot of times in that age group, it's the first time people will have like a psychotic break, for example. So definitely a huge range of issues that people can potentially struggle with.
And what is the impact of music on mental health?
Well, on a very basic kind of scientific level, listening to music or even just anticipating listening to music increases dopamine, which is one of the neurotransmitters that is linked with the reward and pleasure part of the brain. So again, either listening to it or just anticipating listening to it stimulates those what we call the feel-good chemicals. So you tend to feel better when you listen to music. So that's kind of very basic level one. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, music can actually increase a sense of belonging, sense of socialization. You know, for people like what I was describing of myself early on, where I felt like I didn't really have anyone to talk to. Even if that's true and you don't have anyone to talk to, listening to a particular song that relates to what you're experiencing that you might not have other outlets for can feel very validating, and it can make you feel like someone else out there gets it, whether it's the songwriter, the singer, whoever it might be. Maybe you're not so alone in this because someone else gets it. So it can definitely reduce a lot of the negative effects that we see from, you know, a lot of those issues that I spoke about earlier.
Being a registered nurse, when I go into hospital settings, there is, especially in pediatrics, working in neonatal intensive care units, there's music therapy. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is that the music therapy can actually change the heart rate, blood pressure, really soothe infants who are going through a really traumatic situation. But it's a specific type of music. So yeah. When you're talking about music and mental health, is it any music or is it something, you know, a particular kind of music?
You know, it's interesting. What I have found is what matters most is the individual's preference. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about what specifically you're listening to, but whether you like it and whether it makes you feel good, whether it stimulates that dopamine. There is one exception, and that is with sleep, which would make sense if you think about it in terms of infants, right? Because infants sleep more than we do. Lucky them. But it's classical music. Classical music stimulates the brain waves that induce relaxation. Mm-hmm. So that is the one that I would recommend. Like if I were meeting with someone that said, you know, I'm having trouble with sleep. I really like music. What do? I would recommend classical music. And it's interesting. I wish I could remember who the researchers were, but you just reminded me of the study that I read, you know, many moons ago when I was going through grad school, that they looked at infants in, I think it was the NICU, so mm-hmm. the neonatal intensive care unit, right? And some of those infants were exposed to music and some were not. Mm-hmm. And what they found was the ones who were exposed to music, if you measured like the crying time, mm-hmm. the amount of time they spent crying, those listening to music cried for a less amount of time overall. And you're right, had just more like improvements in their bodily regulations, yeah. bodily processes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think some of the research also talked about being discharged more quickly.
Yes.
When they had music therapy. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to our listeners who are, let's say, having mental health challenges and maybe wanted to utilize music as part of their own self-care?
So if they wanted to use it as their own self-care, mm-hmm. I mean, the benefit of using music is that it is very accessible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to go as far as say all people, but most people have access to music in some form, whether it's through radio. You know, a lot of people have cell phones nowadays, so they can listen to their Spotify or Pandora, whatever it might be. Even walking into a local Starbucks, you know, they're playing it over the speakers. So I would say use the tools that are available to you. And again, use what you like, because that's what really matters in this field is your preference. You know, what do you like? What makes you feel good? If you are more interested in pursuing music, let's say in a more, or rather music-based interventions yes. for psychological purposes, mm-hmm. in a more professional setting, there's a whole field dedicated specifically to music therapy. Again, unfortunately, that's not always covered by insurance. It's usually private pay. However, there are some individuals who, whether by using an advocate, for example, or just finding loopholes here and there, they're able to request this kind of, I think it's like a third-party coverage or something. I'm not too clear on the details there, but are able to get coverage for that. So it really is a matter, in professional settings, of course, to advocate for yourself and be able to argue, like, why is this important? Why is this helpful? If that is something that seems kind of out of reach, a lot of times, you know, you can seek out, I mean, we talked about, or you mentioned the community counseling centers right. earlier, so right. those tend to be low cost based on income sliding scale, mm-hmm. So you have access to mental health services a lot of times, even if you don't necessarily have the income to pay for insurance, and depending on the setting, you could request someone who uses more creative interventions. And just, you know, even if they're not music therapists per se, mm-hmm. a lot of psychologists or psychology trainees will at least have some knowledge about, again, whether it's music, art, play therapy, mm-hmm. different interventions that can be used.
So if I took this, let's say, on a simplistic level, mm-hmm. if I am feeling sad, if I am feeling depressed? When do I introduce the music into my ears?
Ah. Okay. Okay, so more simplistic level.
Okay.
I mean, this is my bias, of course. Yeah. Any time is a good time.
Okay.
Even if you're not feeling, even if you're feeling happy, you can use it to enhance that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But, you know, if you're feeling a little sad, again, listening to music that relates to what you're feeling, that kind of has similar themes, can create a sense of validation. Okay. And on the flip side, listening to upbeat music can, again, stimulate that dopamine and make you feel good. The other strategy that I would recommend for maybe the more creative types is songwriting. You know, we talk about music as a form of expression, and at least in my experience, when I talk about music, most people think of the more passive strategy, which is listening.
Yes.
But actually singing, songwriting, or even rewriting pre-existing songs to make them fit your life a little bit more accurately can all be very healing.
Oh, that is very good to know. One last question.
Sure.
I have seen images of you on the internet with the Backstreet Boys.
Oh my goodness, yes.
On the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
One of them wrote a song, they sing it as a group, but about one of their fathers passed away before he became a Backstreet Boy. And so he wrote this song called Never Gone, which is about the grief that he experienced and mourning the loss of that relationship. And I've actually used that song in session with some of my clients who've also been struggling with the loss of, you know, whether a mother, father, a brother, or significant other, to help them kind of acknowledge that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to feel sad about it. It's healthy to feel sad about it. And then where do you go from there?
This is Eve Adler reporting.